The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today on Deadline is looking at what could be the end of the line for the popular social media app TikTok. A recent appellate court ruling has allowed a potential ban of the app in the U.S. That's right, super scrollers. The days of endless tapping on the road to brain rot could soon be over. That's unless ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, decides to sell the U.S. company by the end of this month. We know it's not very demure or very mindful, but let's backtrack and give you some background before you doomscroll away from us. Months after TikTok skyrocketed to the most popular app in the U.S., members of Congress began diving deep into the app's practices and potential dangers it brought to the United States populace. After several investigations, hearings with TikTok CEO, and numerous headlines, Congress passed legislation that says if ByteDance doesn't sell TikTok, it will be banned here in the U.S. The legislation came earlier this year and stemmed from fears of foreign manipulation of the platform. The legislation received bipartisan support and was signed by President Joe Biden. But while the ultimatum was given and upheld even after TikTok challenged it in court, an April report from Reuters revealed that the app's owners would actually rather see it banned than sell it. In 2023, Reuters also reported that the U.S. accounted for about 25% of TikTok's overall revenue. In total, ByteDance made nearly $120 billion in 2023. That was up from 2022's figure of around $80 billion. With 75% of its revenue coming from other countries, it doesn't seem like the social media site will be sold to preserve its U.S. market. So, did the appellate court get it right? Shamin Keitner, a Martin Luther King Jr. professor of law at UC Davis School of Law, recently shared her thoughts with Odyssey.
You know, so many questions, but let's just start off with your reaction to today's ruling.
Well, I must say it's a unanimous ruling by a three-judge court of appeal. So although I think opinion was divided as to what to expect, this is a pretty solid set of judges who are saying that the government's national security concerns were sufficiently persuasive to justify this law under which, as you explained, TikTok will need to be sold to a U.S. owner.
Legally, what precedent does this set regarding how the government can treat foreign-owned companies operating in the U.S.?
Well, you know, the particular challenge here had to do with the fact that TikTok is a communications platform. As a general matter, there aren't a whole lot of restrictions other than trade law on how the United States government can treat foreign companies. But here, because the company is engaged, at least to a certain extent, in what legally we would call expressive activities, there was a challenge brought under the First Amendment to the Constitution, which guarantees free speech, against this law that was passed by an overwhelming bipartisan consensus in Congress. And so absent that speech issue, the U.S. can actually do quite a lot with respect to foreign companies, just like foreign countries can regulate U.S. companies operating in their territory.
What is this going to look like in January?
Well, that remains to be seen. Yeah. I mean, if nothing happens, if ByteDance doesn't take any action, then theoretically, at least, the U.S. government will be able to enforce this law. Now, the way that the law works, it's essentially the service providers and app stores that are going to get hit with fines, pretty significant fines, for continuing to host the app. And so it's the Apples and Oracles of the world that will actually be in the crosshairs, so to speak. So everyone is looking to those companies to see what their general counsels are going to advise in terms of the risk of continuing to host TikTok. In addition, of course, we're going to have a new president soon. And something that's a little bit puzzling to observers is that this is the president who was very much in favor of an outright TikTok ban during his first presidency, but has seemed much more opposed to that now that he's coming back for a second term. And so this is a law passed by Congress. This is not an executive action. So it's up to Congress to change its mind if it wants to. But we're going to be looking also at how much the Trump Department of Justice actually actively enforces this law when it comes down to January 15th, unless ByteDance actually does comply and sell TikTok.
In your mind, do you think President Trump, after he's inaugurated, is there a type of executive action that he could take that would bypass all this and allow TikTok to continue operating here?
And really, because of the structure of the law, it would be more a question of him, encouraging the Justice Department not to actively enforce the law, which, of course, would set a pretty bad precedent because you don't want uneven enforcement. But there is a really strong argument here that, we live in an integrated world where certainly, foreign control or access to U.S. person data is a national security concern. Disinformation at the hands of foreign governments is a national security concern. But we also have important free speech rights, and we don't want to set a precedent for other countries whose governments will look at the U.S. government and say, well, if they're going to boss around a social media company on their territory, we can do the same to social media companies on our territories, which would ultimately restrict the speech of many more people in other countries around the world as well.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the months since the legislation passed, opening the door for TikTok to be banned, several other legal matters have come forward, including a lawsuit from more than a dozen states. In total, attorneys general for 13 states and the District of Columbia alleged in an October lawsuit that TikTok and its addictive content harms teen health. Will the legal trouble be another reason why ByteDance decides to leave the U.S. altogether? Or is there a chance that the company actually sells?
Bloomberg intelligence analyst Matt Schettenhelm had some thoughts to share on what might happen.
Can you explain today's ruling and what this means?
Yeah, so ByteDance and TikTok had made a First Amendment argument to the D.C. Circuit that said that this is unprecedented for the U.S. government to single out one application for this sort of effective ban. And they said that this violates principles of free speech fundamentally because the government hadn't considered less disruptive alternatives, and that jumping to an effective ban goes way too far in disrupting both the speech rights of the company and the millions of users who use it. And so they presented this argument to the D.C. Circuit, and what we learned is that failed. And the D.C. Circuit came out with a very strong opinion in favor of the United States and in favor of this law. And so TikTok is in substantial trouble.
Well, my question here is, and I don't think it's really off topic, is just a couple of days ago, the U.S. government was warning us U.S. citizens to start using encrypted chat between Apple and also Android phones because of what the Chinese government is doing, being able to hack into our cell phones. And now are we also looking at an issue here with China owning ByteDance, and maybe they have some nefarious reasons for what they're doing with TikTok and making their way here into America?
And you really put your finger on it there, because that is very close to the rationale that the U.S. government used to defend this law. And the three-judge panel that ruled this morning said, look, these sorts of national security matters are really for the federal government to address. And we three judges aren't going to second guess the federal government's determination that China is a substantial national security risk. And the government was really driven here by concerns, one, that TikTok would be a propaganda machine for China, but also, as you allude to, with concerns about access to all this data about hundreds of millions of Americans using this this platform, and all of that data flowing back to China. And the court basically said, you know what, First Amendment is one thing, but it's outweighed by the national security concerns in some cases, and this is one of them.
Now, it seems kind of odd that President Trump, just several years ago when he was the president, that he was in favor of the ban, but now he's kind of changing his mind. What's going on with his reasoning, and could he be getting involved?
Yeah, it's really a fascinating story. President Trump was the first one really to introduce the idea of a TikTok ban, and he actually imposed one, but then ran into trouble in court. The difference was he didn't do it through Congress. Here, this time, Congress passed it on an overwhelming bipartisan basis. But you're exactly right. More recently, President Trump has come out and said, you know what, I don't support a ban anymore. And he said that because he didn't want to help Meta, which is obviously a leading competitor to TikTok. And so his view has certainly softened on it. And I think one thing you're going to see, if TikTok can't get this overturned in the U.S. Supreme Court, which I think will be its next step, it's going to look to Trump with the hope that maybe President Trump will decide not to enforce this law.
TikTok has become more than just a social media platform. It's a place of online commerce where its major personalities create a living and inspire others to do the same. It's a place where plenty of Americans decide what to wear, what to read, what to watch, what their living spaces should look like, and even what their opinions should be. And that thought-shaping role that TikTok has taken on, it definitely played a role in our most recent presidential election. To share more on how TikTok changed the game when it comes to political campaigns, Joshua Tucker, director of NYU's Center for Social Media and Politics, joined Odyssey.
So do you think social media played a bigger role in promoting candidates or with negative information about candidates?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar in that way to advertisements, right? Candidates are always going to embark on strategies where they're using positive statements about their own candidates, and they're also using advertisements that are saying negative statements about other candidates. I think the most interesting thing about what happened with social media in this election was the real diversification of what was going on in terms of both platforms and in types of ways that people were using social media as compared to previous elections.
Okay, explain.
Well, so if you think back to sort of pre-social media elections, right, the main way that candidates would try to communicate with voters was through rallies, television, newspaper, flyers in the mail. And then we've had, in the last couple of elections, we've had social media. But in the previous two elections, the kind of most important ways that social media was mattering was through Facebook and Twitter and YouTube to a certain extent. And most of this was text-based, right? There were some interesting things going on with kind of like Facebook Live and streaming things and getting to see candidates. There were videos on YouTube, these longer form videos. But what we saw in this election was the rise of just many more platforms and also the rise of TikTok, right, where candidates could use these short form videos. And we also saw this concurrent rise of the importance of influencers. Both campaigns were working with influencers. And even beyond social media, I think this campaign really drove home the importance of other forms of media or non-traditional media outreach, like podcasts, for example.
I was going to ask about that, the effect of, because people like Joe Rogan have lots of followers. Do they really have an impact when people go to the voting booth?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. And it gets to, you know, in some ways, it's a hard question to try to understand the answer to, because we don't really know the counterfactual of what would have happened if he hadn't endorsed Trump. In general, we don't tend to think that these kind of celebrity endorsements or even newspaper endorsements tend to have a big effect on the outcomes, and especially so in a really sort of hyper-polarized country like the United States is, where so many different, you know, so many people are kind of already know who they're going to vote for before the election. But the flip side of that, in a sort of hyper-polarized country like the United States, which is really split down the middle, there is always the possibility that, you know, these little things on the margins have these outsized effects, right? Where it all comes down to these seven swing states, where a point or two shift in one direction matters, it's really hard to also rule out that things like Taylor Swift or Joe Rogan aren't having impact.
While he was on the campaign trail, President-elect Donald Trump said that he would save TikTok. But in an interview with Meet the Press this month, he seemed to change his tune. Trump acknowledged that he used TikTok himself during his campaign. Still, he didn't give a yes or no answer on what he'd do with the app as president. When he was asked outright if he would protect TikTok, Trump responded with this: "I'm going to try and make it so that other companies don't become an even bigger monopoly." Whatever that means. So while it's given us some good laughs, connected us through a pandemic, and kept some of us up way past our bedtime too many nights to count, everyone who's been on TikTok may have to say goodbye to the app for good. With all of the research we've seen on social media and its addictive properties, we'll give you some advice about what to do about all this. Don't go cold turkey. Just back away from the app slowly. This show is produced by Joe Heady, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thank you for listening to On Deadline. Odyssey's serving up a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.